Cool. So here I am, first time preaching. Cool. So, yeah, I just want to say we're so grateful to be here today. Me and Raina, I mean, we've been here just a little over 6 months, so we're loving it, aren't we? It's just awesome. So we're absolutely thrilled to be part of the family here at Church in the Marketplace, and we're totally excited about what God is doing in our awesome church, and it's truly an honor to be part of it. And yeah, so before I get into my message for today, I just wanted to thank some people who have helped us along the way. And yeah, so I just wanted to say thank you to Peter, wherever he is. Oh, he's just gone out. But yeah, thank you to Peter. And we want to say thank you to Lucy and Wei for just your support. And Bronwyn, but she's not here today, but that's all right. We want to thank Mariah and Renee also, and also Jay Janice, and the pastoral elders and the church council and the church family, of course. So thank you for all the love and support that you've shown me and Raina. So thank you so much, yeah? So I just want to give you guys a clap. Yeah, awesome. So just a bit of a disclaimer, this is my first time preaching, so it's an area that I'm growing in, so just bear with me if something goes wrong. And if I do say anything that you do agree with, you can nod your head or say yeah, but like enthusiastically, or you can say amen. Anything to encourage me, because I'm actually petrified being up here. Like, yeah, okay? Amen. That's great. Awesome. Fantastic. That's what I like. Cool. So I'm just going to pray, and then let's get into it. Oh, thank you, Father God. Lord, I just thank you that I'm here, and I'm in church in the marketplace. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill me, and that the words I speak would be your words, Lord. And yeah, just fill me with your Holy Spirit, and just help us to have open hearts and open ears to hear what you're saying today. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So, the title of my message is Acceptance Equals Change. And I'm going to just ask Holly to come up, and she's going to just help me out here. So just hold them up nice and high. Okay, so there we have it. Acceptance equals change. What do we all think? So sometimes we get it in reverse. Yeah? So sometimes we can actually expect people to change before we actually accept them. And often we can be so quick to judge. And there's actually many occasions in my life when I've actually judged people before I've even got to know them. Do you want to go down now? Good job. Okay, yeah. So, but by the end of the message, it should be this way, yeah? Okay. So let me ask you this. Who's ever been to a party? Okay, great. Awesome. Great. So who's ever been to a party and you see someone walking in and they totally catch your eye and you're just like, whoa, what are they wearing? Like, what a weirdo. And I'm the only one who thinks like that, hey? But, you know, they're dressed weird and you see them walk in and they start walking towards you, and as soon as they start walking, you just start going the other way because you don't want to get to know them, right? Has anyone done that? Maybe I'm the only one. That's all right. So, you know, I've done this in church before as well. Like, I think we can easily overlook people because of all kinds of things. And maybe it's age. Like, this bunch are too young and they never know when to be quiet, or these people are too old. Yeah? Like, it's a serious thing. or maybe it's the way they look. I mean, this person might look like a bum or a hippie. Or maybe it's their behavior. This person's never quiet in church, or even this person sleeps around. It's gone very quiet. But it is. It's the whole attitude of, hey, you need to change what you're doing before you're accepted into my group. And I'm guilty of that on so many levels. But the good news is that it doesn't matter where you are in life, that Jesus, he accepts you and he loves you. And there's actually nothing that we can do to make him love us any more or any less than he does right now. Come on, just turn to someone and say, Jesus loves you. Come on. That's awesome. All right, great. So, thanks, Renee. Jesus loves you too. Awesome. So, can I just say this? So, Jesus was so radical in the way he loves, right? And today I'm going to be sharing from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 9. Which is a story about a guy called Zacchaeus. Does everyone know who Zacchaeus is? He's a short guy, maybe shorter. So let's just get that scripture up on the screen. So, you know, Jesus was ministering to so many broken people, and he was praying for the sick, casting out demons. He was performing miracles. And in the midst of all that, I sometimes think, wouldn't it just be so funny if Jesus walked around and he was going to pray for someone and he was like, oh, you got sin in your life. How about I come another time, and once all that sin's gone away, then I can come and pray for you. Like, I think that sometimes it's like, well, actually Jesus, he actually meets us where we're at. And when Jesus meets us where we're at, from that comes transformation. Yeah? Okay, so Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. And there was a man there named Zacchaeus. And he was the chief tax collector in the region. And he had become very rich. And he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Could you just put yourself in Zacchaeus' shoes for a minute? Like, imagine you're just going down to check out Jesus, and you get past the crowd and you climb up the tree, and then all of a sudden, the creator of the universe is looking you dead in the eye and he calls you by name. Whoa. If that was me, I would have probably just fallen off the tree right there. So, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased because he has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor. And Lord, if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them four times as much. So Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Cool. So let's think about Zacchaeus for a minute. Let's think about who he was. So he was a chief tax collector. Some translations say he was a notorious sinner. So he was known because he was such a sinner, right? So tax collectors in the day, let's just talk about that. They were absolute scumbags who just thieved from their own brothers and sisters. And what they did was they actually worked for the Roman government. So they collected taxes from the people, and then they'd meet the Romans' quotas, okay? And then all the money left over from that, they'd take for themselves, and that's how they made a living. So what do you think they did? I know what I would do in that situation. Yeah, okay, so Zacchaeus and his buddies made up amounts on the fly. Okay? So imagine that, just you're walking around, I don't know, Bondi Junction or something, and someone just comes up and just says, hey, I'm taxing you your whole house. That's pretty radical. So, and remember this, right? So Zacchaeus was not just the tax collector, he was the chief. So he had other little tax collectors running around for him. He was just a tough guy, yeah? I always use that word. He's a tough guy, even though he was short. I think of him like, we all know the mafia, right? He's like the mob boss. And he was also very rich. Yet, he was curious about Jesus. Because of his Jewish heritage, he had heard about this promised Messiah. So what does he do? He goes to check this guy out. And he's too short, and the crowd gets in the way. So he's forced to climb the sycamore tree, which in the day is considered a very undignified act. And you know what? People really dislike Zacchaeus, and maybe he didn't care. He was just so curious about Jesus that he wanted to see him, and he wasn't going to let his circumstances stop him, and he wasn't going to let anyone get in the way. So before I became a Christian, man, I was so lost and broken, and I had no hope. Like, life was really hard, and I grew up in a very dysfunctional family, and I was an absolute mess. And I was definitely not a good person to be around. but one of the biggest thing I had to overcome when I gave my life to Jesus was really myself. It was my pride. Like, actually coming to the realization that, yes, I do need help. And I can relate to Zacchaeus. I definitely wasn't too popular with the people, but I wanted to know Jesus so bad that I couldn't care less what other people thought of me. So I knew I wanted to know him. Yeah? So, because sometimes it's so easy to just get lost in the crowd and become so consumed with what's actually happening around us that we actually, our eyes, they don't remain on Jesus. I mean, Proverbs 4:27 says this, let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze before you. So don't look to the left or to the right. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because he is the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen? Do I get amen? Yeah, great. Thank you. So the other thing is this. So Zacchaeus knew about Jesus, but he wanted to know him. So what did he do? He climbed the sycamore tree, yeah? And sometimes that's so much like us. Like, we can know about Jesus. We can actually come to church every Sunday. We can go to Bible study. We do Alpha, which is awesome. But do we know him? Do we actually spend time in our personal lives getting to know Jesus? Or is it just, we just make it a Sunday thing? See what I'm saying? It's not enough to just know about Jesus. We need to have a real relationship with him. And how do we have this relationship with him? We have the Holy Spirit living in us, which connects us to God and to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us if we listen. So how do you get to know someone? It's not a trick question. Anyone yell it out? Spend time with them, exactly. So if we want to get to know Jesus, we have to spend time with him. Yeah? Who's ever met a celebrity? Anyone? Like two or three people? But it's kind of like meeting a celebrity in a way. So you know about celebrities. You know about them, but you don't actually really know their character or who they are as a person until you actually meet them. So does anybody know Paul Gilbert? One person, yeah, great. So
So Paul Gilbert, he's a bit of a guitar crush of mine. So if you didn't know, I play guitar. And Paul Gilbert played for this awesome band called Racer X, and it was just like really like fast guitar stuff. But I had heard about him. I had seen him on YouTube. I had learned some of his songs. But that all changed when I actually got to meet him in person. And I actually had the privilege of working on a show with him. And when I actually met him, I actually got to know his character. I got to know his personality and what he was about. And it was amazing. It turns out he's a really humble guy, and he was really nice, and he actually took the time to hang out with us after the show. See, the sometimes we can know all this stuff about Jesus, like we can know the Bible, we can quote scriptures, we can come to church, and we can even watch YouTube videos about Jesus. We can listen to preaching about Jesus, but if it's just listening to him, I mean, listening to preaching and all that stuff, we need to go deeper than that. We actually need to have a real relationship with him every day. Like, we can talk to him. There's a difference between knowing about someone to actually knowing them. So, I was just thinking this the other day, actually. Like, wouldn't it be really funny if all I knew about Raina was a book that I had read about her? So, it would be very big, yes. But yeah, so how do we get to know Jesus? We have to spend time in prayer, and we need to be running to him every day. Amen? Yeah, cool. So let's look at Zacchaeus again. So what changed his heart? I actually like to imagine the conversation that they might have had over the meal that they shared together. And I think it's kind of funny that in the Bible, they actually leave that part out, because I think sometimes we can take bits of the Bible and say, this is a formula to get this outcome. But it's kind of interesting because it's left out. And I sometimes think Zacchaeus could have been thinking, does Jesus even know where all the money came from paying for this food? Does he know where the money came from? Does he even know what I do for a living? Does he know the kind of person that I am? Yet, he knows me, and he cares about me, and he understands me, and he actually gets me. So something was happening to Zacchaeus. And the question is this, what actually changed Zacchaeus? It wasn't religion. It wasn't a prayer. It wasn't even going to church. He had an encounter with Jesus. And from this, his whole heart started to change. So Jesus says this in Matthew 15:8, that these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are so far from me. So we can come to church every week and we can say prayers and do things that are actually absolutely meaningless unless our hearts are engaged with it. So we can recite prayers and honor God with our lips, yeah? But we actually need to connect our hearts to God. That's what he's after. So we can actually become stuck in the motion, and a question that we really need to ask ourselves is, how is God transforming me? I mean, when I look back on my life, I can say, wow, like, I used to be such a different person before I had an encounter with Jesus. And can I just say, I'm so thankful that I had a church that actually accepted me where I was at, and they didn't put any pressures on me to say, oh, you've got to change and do all this before you can be part of the worship team or before you can do anything. But man, my church actually just accepted me, and from that, And it was God's grace. He accepted me, and from that, I was able to, he's been transforming me ever since. And by no means am I perfect. We're all on a journey. But when I look back, I can actually see how God has been transforming me. And I'm sure if you all do the same thing, you can see how God has been transforming you. So that's what we're called to do. We're called to become more like Christ and become transformed from glory to glory and become more like Him. So I'm just going to wrap it up here. But, you know, maybe you are here this morning and this is your first time to church, which if it is, awesome. Great to have you here. It's just so good. But yeah, maybe you've never encountered Jesus. Or maybe you're here this morning and you have been coming to church your whole life, but you still feel like there is a disconnect between you and Jesus. Or maybe you just want to get a fresh encounter with Jesus. So we're meant to be transformed from glory to glory, yeah? And this can only come from having a real relationship with Jesus. So I'm just going to invite the band to come up. And we're going to sing a song. And after we finish singing the song, I'm going to come and pray, and then I'm going to conclude the service. But I'm going to stick around the front, and if you do want prayer for anything, please come forward. More specifically, if you do want to encounter Jesus for the first time, I'd love to pray for you. Or if you want to like recommit your life to Jesus, or if anyone who wants a fresh encounter with Jesus. So yeah, God bless. Let's stand and sing.